I have been challenged in the last probably 2 months because as I've gone through the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day, there's been different subject matter that has come up, and I've wanted to run that through the filter and see if Proverbs, 3,000-year-old wisdom, could really answer the questions or the different subject matter that's popped up. And one the other day, which was so great, I actually didn't record yesterday, but it was the 16th of March yesterday. So happy March 16th. But today we're going to be doing two back-to-back episodes because I felt that this one, situational leadership, was so very important. And it was something for me that was so interesting. I had a friend named Paul Cate, and he asked me, he said, do you know about situational leadership? And in my head, I was thinking, I know the word situational and I understand leadership. So those two together, situational leadership, must mean that you have to take into consideration the circumstances or situation that you're in and lead based off of that, as opposed to a static system on how to lead. And so it was incredible. I got a chance to be able to talk with him. He went down it. He is an incredible, not only situational leader, but he's a servant leader. And we began to discuss it. And then I said, like, I want to see if Proverbs could answer that also. So that's what we're going to be going into, situational leadership. And I put boom, pow, because the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day, 3,000-year-old wisdom, has never disappointed me, and it didn't disappoint me on this one. Proverbs 16, which is going to be amazing. Let's get this party started. What does situational leadership and Proverbs, 3,000-year-old wisdom, what does that have to do with each other? Every single thing. It's amazing how this works because I went through and I actually had to Google it, which I have a PhD in Google. And if you ever have a challenge, this is a side note, if you ever have a challenge inside of a culture or a system or anything like that, and you want to understand some of the words, first of all, what I would suggest is understanding the type of food that the culture, what the culture eats. Because if you could do that, you could commune with them. Second one, which generally people jump to, is the vocabulary or vernacular. And this goes for any industry or culture or anything like that. If you're the financial industry, there are certain taglines or tag words that if you know what the meaning is, then you can have a conversation. Now, I don't try and act like I'm a scholar in these areas. I am very upfront. If I hear a word that I don't understand, I simply Google it. And I Googled situational leadership because, again, I understood the concept of it. And it was amazing because one of the godfathers of situational leadership was Ken Blanchard. And I was raised on Ken Blanchard stuff. And my dad raised me on it. It was amazing. And then I got a chance to interview Ken Blanchard, go back on the podcast. And he gave a shout out to my pop, which I thought was absolutely phenomenal. But let's break down the situational leadership and actually what it means. The first principle is flexibility. Second is adaptability. Third is directive. Fourth is coaching. Fifth is participating. Sixth is delegation. Seventh is courage. Eighth is integrity. Nine is clear vision. And 10 is humility. And when they talk about this situational leadership, it all bases around flexibility, that first one. So the cool thing is what God opened up to me in Proverbs 16, the corresponding proverb, corresponding day, that never disappoints. Flexibility, he talked all about this from verse 1 through 33. And for those of you who didn't already guess, there's 33 verses in it. And so if you read through this, this takes you through how to be able to be flexible in it. But we're going to break down all the principles as you go along. So in the adaptability part, in principle number 2 in situational leadership, It goes to verse 21 and 22. The wise in heart are called discerning, and gracious words promote instruction. Prudence is a fountain of life to the prudent, but folly brings punishment to fools. So let's look at that one in the adaptability. The wise in heart are called discerning. It means that to be able to discern something, to be able to look at it, you look at it from a different lens and from other people's lenses. And the fact of being adaptable means that you're not just stuck in your ways. And gracious words promote instruction. Imagine this, as opposed to coming in rigid with situational leadership or just leadership and turn it into situational leadership, as opposed to coming in rigid with it, looking at it from a gracious standpoint and saying, how can I see it from their perspective and how can I adapt? How can I be a leader that would be willing to adapt the system based off the situation and that person's either their acumen or their intelligence level, or their skill level? How can I adapt myself? Let's go on to the next one. As far as a directive, some people need a directive. They need to be able to be led in the right direction. And in verse 20, it hits on this. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed are the ones who trust in the Lord. So whenever it says trust in the Lord, some people are like, oh man, well, how? But just take this out of it and say, blessed is the one who trusts in your system. Blessed is the one who trusts in the leadership style. Sometimes people need a directive, but they need that communicated to them at the level and the language at which they speak. So in verse 20, whoever gives heed to instruction prospers. Well, if you want to lead people, you have to be able to take heed of that instruction yourself. And so when you're leading from that, then people have no challenge when you bring directive to them or that you're able to give that to them. In number four is coaching. So, and that's in verse 16 through 18. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver? And when you're going in coaching, it's helping the people to see the value in the larger vision. And in verse 17, the highway of the upright avoids evil. Those who guard their ways preserve their lives. Imagine when you're coaching someone, helping them to understand, this is what's going to happen when we do the right thing. This is what's going to happen when we don't do the right thing. But that doesn't come from you telling them. It comes from you asking them questions. And then in the last one is pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit will before a fall. Pride goes before destruction when you're coaching. If you're just telling, it's not coaching. When you're drawing out, you're drawing out the greatest in that person by asking questions. And number five, it's participating. In verse number 23, it's amazing because Proverbs straight drops gems. The hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent and their lips promote instruction, right? So participating. When you want someone to participate in something, the hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent. Their mouths are always thinking about the future. Prudence is thinking about the future. The hearts of the wise make their mouths. When you fill your heart up with wisdom, how do we find wisdom? From the fear of God. Why do we fear God? Well, it's not fear and trembling. It's just respect. And if you understand his character, then you're able to respect him. When you do that, then you get wisdom, which is the right use of knowledge. And when that fills up your heart, then guess what happens? It comes out of your mouth. And when that right use of knowledge comes outside of your mouth, you have no challenge getting people to participate in what it is that is going on within that leadership or in the vision. It's amazing that way. Next one is delegation. If you want to get to delegation, you have to understand and feel comfortable enough to be able to let it go. Let those things go. And not we went from participation as far as letting them participate in it to delegation where you give them some autonomy, right? In verse number 26, it says the appetite for laborers works for them. Their hunger drives them on. Imagine this. When you create an environment where you bring in wisdom, you bring in humility as a leader, and they can trust you, then what happens is the appetite for laborers works for them, and their hunger drives them on. They will want to do the best thing. But we have to make sure that we create an environment where that person feels safe to be able to mess up. What is our system? Our system is nothing more than a list of our screw-ups. And when they understand that they have the freedom, then they want to innovate and their hunger will drive them on. And point number seven is courage. Imagine having the courage to be able to trust the people. And in verse number 14, it says, "A king's wrath is a messenger of death, but the wise will appease it." A king's wrath is a messenger of death, but the wise will appease it. You have to believe and have the courage in the system that you're doing or the leadership that you have or the vision that you have within your company. You have to have so much courage in that. And imagine this, the wise will appease it. The king's wrath is a messenger of death. And we know that part of it, a person will get so mad or maybe the consequences are so challenging, but we've got to have courage that the vision is so very strong. And the number eight is integrity. And that goes in verse 10, 11, 12, and 13. So let's jump to them really fast. The lips of the king speak as an oracle, and his mouth does not betray justice. Honest scales and balances belong to the Lord, and all the weights in the bag are his making. Kings detest wrongdoing, for the throne is established through righteousness. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value the one who speaks what is right. Integrity is being the same in the dark as it is in the light, and not looking at, will a few people be okay with it, but looking at the whole and looking at the vision. The last one, or number nine, is clear vision, and that's 1 through 9. If you look at this and you study in this, to the humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. You see, a lot of times we think what we think is right, but when we have a clear vision, people have no challenge to be able to follow. And the last one is humility. And I want you to go through and you can look at a couple of the verses in 1 through 9. And then humility is 31 through 33. It says, "Gray hair is the crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness. Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. A lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord." When you stay humble and realize that if I rely on real wisdom and I run that through the filter, how do I get wisdom? Is by fearing God. And how do I fear God? Is by respecting him. How do I respect him? I spend time with him and understand his character. When you realize that and you take that humility in, realizing that it is not about me in leadership, what happens is you're able to effectively situationally lead these people as you go along, as long as they have a clear vision, you walk with integrity, you have the courage to be able to understand and know the vision, you can delegate because you trust the people, you'll start by helping them to participate, you'll coach them, but not through telling them what to do, but by asking them questions, that you help them to understand the directive of it, that you have adaptability, and ultimately you have the flexibility, and the humility and flexibility sandwich this whole thing. So for me, the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day, never disappoints. It's amazing because as I go through and as I study different areas of life, and I love me some Ken Blanchard anyway, but when you look at these types of leadership skills or types, I've said it before, that none of your leadership style really matters. You could choose, you know, servant leadership, situational leadership. You could choose, you know, all these different type of leadership. It all depends on the way in which people feel about that leadership. It's not so much the system itself. And that is the vibe, because the vibe is not the energy that you bring in, but the energy that people feel when you leave. So I hope you had a phenomenal time today. Proverbs 16, the corresponding proverb, corresponding date. We're going to do back-to-back episodes. So stay tuned. 3,000-year-old wisdom that's applicable in your culture, your systems, your leadership, your relationships, and honestly, any type of situation that you would have. My name is Kelly Cardenas, and I'm officially off the hot seat. Peace, love, and soul.